Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a great episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA. I'm Bruce Cameron, and Justin will be with us next week. He is out visiting friends and business associates, and we'll see him next week. So for today, we have a guest with us. I want to introduce Tiffany Wicks and introduce her. She and I have known each other for quite a while, and she offers a brand and a service line of coaching that is very interesting, and I don't think we've had anything close to this type of work since the show's inception. So, folks, I'll let her explain her work and her passion, and so I won't get in the way of that. So, without further ado, welcome to the show, Tiffany.
Thank you, Bruce. Thanks for having me. So, I am Tiffany Wicks. My company is Push Counseling and Coaching. I am a licensed professional counselor, but I'm also a professional coach. And Bruce was saying that my coaching is unique because I coach moms. I coach women in all stages of motherhood. So preconception, family planning, through postpartum, which we know doesn't really end, right? Whether you have a small child or a teen or you're an empty nester, postpartum is forever. So I coach women who are mothering other people, whether that's their own biological children or otherwise. And I just want to advocate for them and support them and give them the tools that they need to succeed and achieve their goals.
Well, that sounds great. Man, postpartum is forever. That's kind of scary, but you know, there's a lot of truth to that. If you could give us a little bit of background about yourself, you know, what got you to you know, the things in your life that led you to be in this service line, and I know there's probably experience and strength in that, but if you could share with us a little bit about what got you to this particular sector of coaching.
Sure. So that's actually a loaded question, but I started my early career and I was a teacher, and while I was teaching, I got my master's in counseling from Southern Methodist University. And so as I was going through that counseling experience, I actually worked with Bruce to finish my license and become a full-time LPC. But during that process, I gave birth and I had a baby, and I had prenatal and postpartum depression on top of the fact that I had a difficult birth and all the things that you could possibly imagine during pregnancy and birth that weren't ideal. And so I really did struggle with postpartum depression. The problem with that was that I really couldn't find specialized care that was accessible, that was even affordable, and that gave me kind of this sense of somebody understood what I was going through. So I moved in from this idea of, yes, I have this counseling career, but there's so much more that I could do with it. And so that's how Push came to be. So earlier this year, I started Push, and I realized that counseling is awesome, and I love using my LPC, and I still do that within my private practice, but coaching can take it so much further. And so that's kind of how I've moved into that sector as well. And just supporting women so much more, more regularly, and just being able to be there for them outside of an office setting.
Excellent. What, you know, kind of looking back or even looking at this area now, what are some of the gaps? I mean, what are some of the things that you were looking for that you couldn't find? What are some of the things that postpartum women, even that's the right term, but experiencing that, what are some of the gaps that they're just, that aren't there that you're able to try to fill?
Sure. So, you know, I think that's twofold. The first part is that there's this kind of looming expectation for mothers to be okay, to enjoy every part of their pregnancy, to enjoy motherhood, to just make it click right away. And there's these looming expectations, whether they're societal or familial or whatever, what have you, like that we just have to keep pushing and it's going to be fine. Or, oh, it's just baby blues. Or, oh, it's just being a new mom and you have anxiety. Or, oh, it's just you have to learn how to balance everything, or you have to have it all. And that pressure to do it by ourselves and continue to give of ourselves without that somebody giving it back to us or like pouring back into us, you know, on this individual specialized basis. And I definitely felt that pressure as a new mom, and I have a lot of cookies in, or hands in the cookie jars. And so I'm a graduate student as well, or I'm a doctoral student, and I was had a full-time job. I was raising a kid. I'm married, like all the things. And so I wasn't really finding somebody who could relate to any of those things and really could give me some of those practical skills of, instead of take a break or take a vacation or, you know, put your dreams to the side or whatever. These are some things that you can do. These are things how you can achieve your goals. Be practical. Like, yes, you're a busy mom. You don't have to stop those things. You don't necessarily have to not have it all. But at the same time, it's about managing your expectations and learning that life is different when you're a mom, but it can be okay. You can be okay. The stress doesn't have to always loom there, but it's about the support that you get, the individual care that you get, how you take care of yourself, and just knowing that you are valuable and worthy as a woman, as a mother, as an individual. And that's what I want to give to my clients.
Man, you know, it's interesting. It's almost like this kind of, hey, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. You'll get through it. Shake it off type of, I mean, it's not exactly that, but I wasn't really aware of that. But come to think of it now, I can see what you're saying, that, oh, well, it's just part of the process. And just people kind of, whatever, slough it off. I know that on one of my first child or second first child, anyway, there was mastitis and it was a breast infection and just extremely painful. And boy, as the dad, you're just kind of, I mean, you're there to support, you're there to do what you can, but you know what I mean? But what your wife or what, you know, what mom is going through is so far and so intense. And so it really, even though you may have an attentive partner or spouse, there's still work and there's still service and that engagement that the spouse can't exactly fill that hole or that need. So that's something that I was always very mindful of and remembering that. And so I'm so glad you're in this line of work. And we'll talk later on about your social media and some other things that Tiffany's doing. And she's out there on social media and active there. And I think this coaching practice is really going to thrive, and it's much needed in the community.
Yeah. So, you're kind of right. This idea of like, not necessarily bootstraps, but just do it, right? Like, just figure it out. And so my strategy when I coach women and I coach mothers is let's look at the things that it's not necessarily about fixing something, or it's not necessarily about, a lot of moms come to me and they have maybe some postpartum depression or they have postpartum anxiety. Like, it doesn't mean that you're crazy. There are so many factors that go into those things. And it's okay. Like, it's okay to not be okay. And I think that there's this expectation, like I said, you know, that you have to just be okay and figure it out and just move on and keep going. And that's not realistic for anyone, let alone moms. And we shouldn't have to be pressuring mothers to just, you know, figure it out. So all that being said, like, I like to give tools. A lot of my moms value just those practical things that they can do every day, meditations or breathing or just taking those 5 minutes of getting early before you go to a meeting and sitting in your car and having that moment, or you know, engaging that support system that often we don't particularly utilize. And I say we, can't speak for all women, but with that pressure, I definitely didn't feel like, even though I had a strong emotional support system, I didn't feel like I could utilize that, because then that meant that there was something wrong with me, or there was something weak in me as a mom, or there was something weak in me as a as an individual. And that's just absolutely not true. And so, you know, what I do is kind of that twofold process of, I want to help women, but I also want to change the narrative of, we are just like everyone else, and we need the same things that we would expect from anyone else, teens, kids, men, whatever, single individuals. Everyone needs support. Everyone needs to reach out. Everybody needs that care and that individual time, and then that self-care for themselves, and that idea of, you know, moms don't need that, or mom, maybe like there's this expectation of, well, then you have to keep going. Like, we're sick and we still have to parent. You know, it's the idea of, let's change that narrative. Let's change the idea of, you know, moms have to do it all, be it all, and give everything of themselves without getting poured back into. Let's give back to them and fundamentally know that coaching, counseling, mental health care is not a bad thing. It's not a fix. It is an improvement. It's always working towards a goal. It's working towards a better life. It's working towards a life that all women, all people deserve. And that we can actually have this abundant, like, happy, successful life, business, motherhood, parenthood, family, whatever, relationships. And we just tap into something else to get us there.
Perfect. I think, yeah. And when you have prenatal depression or postpartum depression, you know, mental health is just hanging in the balance there, and can be hanging by a thread or not at all. And so what I want to do is kind of park the bus, but let's talk about some signs that someone might need extra support. I know that we've talked about several things, and you've identified several things, but let's kind of talk about some of those in a little bit of detail, so that way our listeners who may be experiencing the need can really kind of key into what you're saying. So let's talk a little bit about some signs that you may need extra support.
Sure. So, you know, there's so many different facets to, like, just even perinatal issues. So, and I struggle to say the perinatal mental illness, because I think that, again, gives that stigma of, well, then it has to be fixed, or, you know, somebody's going crazy, or those negative terms. But, you know, the first one is depression, because that's the most highlighted one. So prenatally or postpartum, it's that idea of maybe loneliness, isolation, that increased, prolonged depression, sadness. Sometimes depression looks like irritability, which we often don't recognize initially. Maybe just that lost connection to your child. And the other misnomer of postpartum depression is the idea that, you know, it's in the first 6 weeks, or it's in the first 12 weeks, and those things go away, like, over time, even if they're not treated. But that's not true. There are plenty of moms out there that are a year and a half into parenting, they still have postpartum depression. And, you know, I know you said that kind of a scary concept that postpartum is forever, but really postpartum is just after birth. And so what we're looking at, we look at postpartum, and then we assign it kind of this mental health issue, and something's wrong. And so when we have this postpartum period, we expect people to get better within a year, because it's like, okay, well, you're done breastfeeding, or, oh, you're used to motherhood by now, or, oh, your kid's walking already. Like, why are you still feeling like this? Or why haven't you recovered from this? And, you know, again, those expectations. And, but the longer it goes untreated, it doesn't just dissipate. It doesn't just clear up and go away. And I know that from firsthand experience. Like I said, I had prenatal and postpartum depression. So prenatally, you know, you're disconnected to your child. You're not really connecting to the pregnancy. Maybe you're not taking care of your own health and nutrition. And so those things definitely contribute too. But kind of just changing the idea that it's just a certain period of time. As long as you're not getting treated, it can still exist.
Yeah, and I want to ask you as a content expert, like, why is that? Is that just like some medical, old school medical model? Like, okay, you know, it's been a year, and so there's this kind of a tight window that if you're still experiencing issues or concerns, like, what the heck, you know, like, what's wrong? Is there any kind of, and I know that you, as a researcher, I mean, is there any kind of research, or this is just kind of an old part of the medical culture that's lingering and therefore you're changing the narrative?
So I think that that's, you know, a couple of different things. I don't think that there's a lot of research on kind of that postpartum period and how long those prolong. And so I think that's, you know, part of the issue is there isn't as much research out there about like the mental health issues that mothers face specifically. There is a lot of research, but as far as the prolonged period specifically, I have not found a lot. But I do think it's kind of this old school mentality. You can't really help what you don't know, right? And so, you know, even older generations, like even my parents' generations, you kind of just like get through life, right? Like you just move through it. And we're still having the conversations around general mental illness, depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, what have you, trying to reduce those stigmas. And then you throw in a specialized area where moms just take care of everything. And this old school mentality of, you know, whether it's like kind of the 1950s mom of just being a mom and a wife, or maybe it's just the idea of like the mom emerging and knowing that the whole person as an individual and then as a mom. And so this postpartum period, like, I think it really is down to an old school mentality, this like societal, I don't know, I guess myth of, yeah, we'll give it a year. I mean, shoot, like after a year of breastfeeding, like people kind of try to look at you funny because then they judge you and they're like, well, you're breastfeeding your 2-year-old, like, my God, but that's not abnormal. So, you know, I think we're still just trying to get over the hurdle of time and changing the narrative, like you said, like just changing the conversation of like, but moms have so many other needs that we've never talked about, and we're finally talking about them, but breaking that into that is just so hard. And moms having babies every single day, and to reach them all right now before, you know, they have to experience kind of this hurt and this pain and these messages that we send them, like, it's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah. I mean, the world's a different place. There's been a lot of cultural shifts, as well. And how interesting that, and again, my kids were born in the 90s. So this is kind of funny, but yeah, even then, you know, my wife and I were seen as progressives, and what do you mean? You know, you're going to do this and not do that and not do these vaccinations and all this. And they kind of looked at us like we were bad parents, you know, because we were taking some very healthy stances on some things. So anyway, yeah, and that, so that narrative never keeps on evolving. And sometimes folks in the medical field aren't quite up to speed with some of those things, and that's unfortunate. Well, getting back to some other signs of needing support, one of the things I want to key in on is loneliness. I think I'd like for you to talk about some of the loneliness that that folks can feel as they're going through this.
Yeah. So, I do want to insert a little quick snippet of, we talked about postpartum depression, but postpartum anxiety is something that we don't recognize. And so a lot of times we express maybe this worry of, oh, maybe I'm not a good mom, or what if I drop him, or what if I, you know, blah, 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 fill in the blank. And so there's kind of this dismissive factor. And I see this time and time again, and I'm not trying to generalize, but it's the idea of, oh, well, it's okay, you're a new mom, you'll get used to it. Or, oh, you're just worried right now, you're fine, you're a good mom. But postpartum anxiety often starts with those small conversations. And as other people are supporting a birthing person, are supporting a new mother or a new parent, please pay attention to those signs. because if those increase, if those go past that kind of that hormone imbalance, that shift back where your body's kind of rearranging its organs again after birth, or really just dealing with maybe even just the idea of pregnancy and those racing thoughts, those like perseverating thoughts, like it's the idea that when those don't go away, like that's postpartum anxiety. And that's so, so important for us to pay attention to, because postpartum anxiety is just as important and vital to take care of it as postpartum depression. Granted, you might never have, like, it might not lead to the suicidality. It might not lead to some of the other things. But when you can't function because you're constantly in a state of worry, when you feel like now you've gone from what if I drop him to what if he like rolls out the door, like now we're at irrational things. And you're not functioning, you're not sleeping, you're not living, that is just as important on top of all the other issues like postpartum rage and postpartum OCD and all the other things I could probably talk about. But those are the two big ones because, you know, we talk about so much about depression and it's, I think it's a little bit easier to recognize depression, right? Like, but anxiety, it's not just worry. It's this idea of I can't get this out of my head. I cannot stop these thoughts from coming, and I'm now not functioning anymore.
I think, you know, anxiety and depression are almost like first cousins. Mm-hmm. Where one is, the other is usually right down the street or maybe just next door, or maybe two bedrooms down. And so, you know, I think you're keying on to something there. That generally, the anxiety depression relationship, not to mention then as it kind of sadly grows or flourishes into unwanted and obsessive thoughts that you can't get out of your head, so to speak, and then it is interfering with daily, you know, just daily functioning. So I think you're spot on in how that can happen, and I don't want to just even as a I remember. When my first child, I, you know, even men have some of that. You're like, oh my god, you know, am I going to drop him and this, and that? You know, or just, you know, having the child in the bed with us, am I going to roll on him, you know, or whatever? And it's just so, but nothing. I'll stop my bus. There is nothing compared to what you're talking about. Well, so given what you've said about. Just those two, the loneliness, the depression, and the anxiety. And obviously, you know, some of this you're talking from your own experience. Moving forward with that, what was it that you were missing that you now know that coaching could do to help this person go through this journey?
So I think that, you know, that loneliness piece is really important. And so I want to go back to your original question because I know I kind of diverted and went around the corner, but you know, that loneliness piece is definitely something that I can relate to. It's not just loneliness with your support system. Although there's multiple layers to that too, right? Like if your relationship maybe isn't healthy to begin with, or maybe you guys really haven't. And when I try to talk to new parents about when I see couples in my offices have those conversations early and often about how you want to raise your children, or how do you see like you having this routine or this structure or communicating with each other. A lot of relationships become transactional after baby for a period of time, and they can last a long time with that as well, that transactional relationship of let's just talk about baby, or I'm passing off baby because I need a nap or I need a shower or whatever. It can really definitely impact your relationship. And I'll just share that when I was a new mother, my husband was working 12-hour shifts. And so that was really, really hard for me. And I went back at 6 weeks, but I just remember those first 6 weeks being so dark and so scary, because 12 hours alone with a newborn, no one to talk to, on top of the fact that I was on bed rest for a month by myself and had a difficult pregnancy, and my friend lived 45 minutes an hour away and they worked full-time jobs. Like that was just like situational loneliness in general. And that was that first layer of like, there is no one around and there's no one in proximity. I do remember I share this a lot, because she, I think she saved me in those, that period of time, but I had a friend and, I would text her and she would just say, you need to go sit on your porch for 5 minutes. Like, baby's fine. Like, you're okay. Talk to me. Like, let's have a conversation. But that loneliness and talking to moms about them as individuals, right? So when we talk to new mothers and the way that we send those messages, I always, if I see a mom in a store, I'm always looking at her first. I'm not going to comment on that baby first. She's an individual. She's a person. She was a person before that baby. She was a person after that baby. Like, she matters. And that's what I try to give in that coaching setting too, is it's not just about the motherhood, but it's about you living your best life. And it happens to be that out of that outflow of you being whole and healthy, that you are a good mother as well.
Right, and that your child can flourish. And just what you were saying, when you said, look, your husband was working, your friends had some geographic distance. And, you know, as a counselor or a licensed counselor, well, you set up an appointment, and that appointment would be typically an office visit, and you only have an hour, and then you're back to wherever it was. But see, with the coaching relationship, that can be different. That person can come, the coach can come to your home. The coach can meet you wherever you are at. As a matter of fact, that's the whole spirit of coaching, is very positive psychology and setting goals based on your, you know, what are your goals, not what I think is best for you or what some book says is best for you, but what are your goals? What do you want? What do you need right now? What do you want to talk about today? What do you want to do today? Or, look, of course, there's going to be some suggestion things to that, but I think right there, stumbling on that void, if you will, of human interaction, because if you don't get that human interaction and you're under that kind of stress, just the psychosocial stress of being a new mom, not to mention the biochemical hormonal things going on, that is just a recipe for anxiety, depression, and psychosis right there. And so without touching base with a person, texting is great. I think that's awesome. But being able to have a coach or have a human being, you know, interact with is so important. And that's exactly where coaching is different, because coaching isn't constrained by some of that. And that's exactly what's needed in many situations, but in particular this situation. And that's why I'm so excited for us to talk about this at this level today on the show. Another thing I'd like for you to cover is parenting attitude. So I know that's one of the things that you reference, and let's talk a little bit about parenting attitude and what some of those are.
Yeah. So, I mean, first and foremost, it's kind of the parenting attitudes of both the individuals parenting, right? So, being fully vested in that parenting, having like that partnership in parenting, which is, it can be difficult at times, and it can also be a roller coaster at times, having both partners really engaged and invested. And then, you know, whatever that might look like, maybe there's a working partner, a stay-at-home partner, or whatever, but being able to like equally share that responsibility, that that care for that child. And I mean, shoot, that can contribute to the loneliness too. Like, if you don't have like that partnership within the parenting environment, within each other, like it's hard when you feel like you're the only one single parenting, and you're not technically a single parent. So all that being said, you know, parenting attitudes, I think, is really important. I think when we deal with things like depression, anxiety, all those other things, like, it does change our attitude towards parenting. It changes when we're not satisfied in our lives, when we're not healthy, we're not whole. Parenting can sometimes be just an added thing that we have to do, and it's an added obligation. And that sounds awful, but it's true. And so I have a toddler. So again, like speaking from that kind of personal experience, when at one point I was in graduate school working a full-time job, like, you know, doing all the things, and I was exhausted. I wasn't taking care of myself. I didn't have the time to work out, or I didn't have time to, you know, just go and, you know, take care of myself, I guess, as far as like the yoga or the pedicures or the things that like kind of fill me up and recharge me a little bit, or have even just the social interaction. And so like you come home from the end of the day and I just want to sit. Like I don't necessarily want to engage, like, shoot, my kid's gonna have a Lunchable and, you know, all that, those things. And there's nothing wrong with that. However, it was my attitude towards that that needed to change. It was like the idea that I didn't necessarily want and get excited about this. I didn't really want to engage. And there was not that mental health investment in myself. And so in the outflow, my parenting was affected. And so I talked to new moms, I talked to new parents, couples, even just how do you engage with each other in attitude and how you envision those things. And like I said, you know, talking early and often about what you envision for yourselves, about who's doing what, or what discipline's looking like, or what is food looking like. How do you treat illnesses? We also, you know, you said that you did healthy approaches to things. And I have to admit, because I've known Bruce for a long time, like I thought it was really weird, but I was a kid at the time. But now I understand like the benefits of those things. But that was also something that I had to get on the same page with my husband about too. Like, you know, are you giving your child, are you comfortable with what medications, you know, you guys use? Or are you comfortable with the doctor that you guys have? Like, make those decisions together. That contributes to the parenting attitudes for sure. And even it sounds so like micromanaging, and I hear parents inside and outside of my practice of, oh, we'll figure it out later, or we'll figure it out when the time comes. The time is now. It's always now, because it will come so much faster than you think. And I'm sure you can attest to this as a parent, but gosh, time flies. And I mean, I remember when your child was first born, your first child was first born, and that makes me feel super old, but time flies. I mean, my daughter's almost 3 already, and I just feel like I, you know, had her yesterday. So all those things contribute to those parenting attitudes. And I try and just encourage parents as much as possible, fill your own cups first. And then in that outflow, the parenting comes, the relationships come, the socialization comes, you take care of yourself and you become better for everyone else around you too.
Right. And I talk about parenting styles. I think, you know, for our first child, you know, was pretty intense. You know, I kind of feel sorry for him a little bit, but you know, just the first kid and we have all these expectations and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And I'll speak for me, but you want to try to control things as much as possible. And then you realize you can't control many things. And so that creates an interesting paradigm to kind of figure out what's really going on. So really good points, Tiffany. Another point that you brought up before is miscarriage, and I think that can be a huge element here. I know that it'd be prior history of miscarriage into the birth, or dealing with the miscarriage itself. So let's, if you could talk a little bit about miscarriage as an area where folks may need some extra support.
I'm actually really glad that you brought that up, because October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Month. And so this is actually something I'm really, really passionate about, because the conversations that we have around miscarriage are also something that need to be changed. We have to recognize that those pregnancies are often there's such an investment in them early on, and mothers who have longed for children, or mothers who, you know, they were trying, or whatever the situation might be, that miscarriage is still a loss. And it can be very difficult on the woman and the family in general, but especially on the woman, because I believe that there are so many messages out there of, oh, well, you'll try for another one, or, oh, you'll get pregnant soon, or, oh, it's going to be okay, or, oh, you were only 6 weeks, or, you know, heaven forbid, like, you know, you have a late term pregnancy, a miscarriage, or you have a stillborn or whatever. And then those messages are even more difficult because you've given birth. I mean, this sounds kind of like a controversial opinion, but I still think you've given birth at any stage, even though if you've miscarried, you've given birth to that child, and that's a loss for you. And so, like I said, you know, I coach mothers at any stage of motherhood. We all mother as women, we mother people in different ways, whether we have a child or not, but especially if we've lost a child, we're still moms. And so my, you know, coaching approach to that is you take the time to grieve, just as if you would grieve a spouse or a parent or, you know, a child who maybe did get to live, you know, more of their life. Like, you take the time to grieve. You have every single right. And a lot of times moms don't feel like they have the permission to do that and to take that time. They also don't feel like, you know, when they have another child, then their child that they lost is sometimes forgotten. Those messages of forgottenness, like, oh, well, you have one now, you have a beautiful baby now. And no, but don't dismiss the fact that they did have another child. And so we're not having those conversations enough. And I'm really glad that there is an awareness month about this, but there are so many women suffering in silence because of that. And that contributes to the loneliness. There is still postpartum depression after miscarriage. Like, you know, that's why I say, like, you've given birth, like those mental health issues can still creep up, even if you might not be holding a baby in your arms right now. You've given birth to that. You've lost a child. You've been pregnant. You've whatever, you know, that looks like, whatever, however you want to say that. Take the time to grieve. Look at the signs of mental health issues. Take care of yourself, because it's not just, oh, you can get pregnant right away. It's let's remember, like, let's love on you as an individual, as a human, but as a mom.
And yes, thanks for talking about that. And, you know, I'm hesitant to weigh in on much of that but I will say that, you know, you have to grieve the loss because there's just, you know, you're just creating your own casualty if you can't grieve that loss. And so you're as a mental health professional, I absolutely embrace that. And all too often there are people, oh, well, it doesn't count. It's almost like it didn't count because it was a miscarriage. It wasn't a lie. And it does count. You're absolutely right. And well, good. I'm glad you have that as an aspect of the coaching. Here's a little bit of easier one to look at for a sign of extra support is work performance. And honestly, I'll say that I'm out of touch with that because my kids are in the early 20s and one in late teens. So I will sit here and wave the white flag, but in terms of not understanding this, but now are you considered a millennial? I guess is your, yeah, you are. You're still, that's okay.
Like 1985. Yeah, you're,
okay. All right. Sure. But anyway, that said, that's a good thing. It's just merely a marker for your age range. This whole work performance thing, is the workplace just as hostile as it was back in my day, or is it more friendly because millennials want to stay at home and this and that, or talk a little bit about kind of the culture and the work pressure for women?
Well, that's another loaded question, actually. You said this would be easier, but so I think, yes, it's getting better in some places. I think that there are so many, even corporations, business owners that understand that women and motherhood are not necessarily, they're not mutually exclusive. So you don't just have to figure it out and work from 9 to 5, do your best, and then go home. But, you know, gosh, I mean, the conversations around maternity leave need to change, paternity leave need to change. Like, I did not have paid maternity leave. I was a teacher. I mean, a school counselor. And so, you know, the education system doesn't really, it didn't really lend itself to that. You have to buy the extra package, and then pregnancy was a pre-existing condition at that time. And there's layers to that too. But as far as workplace performance, you know, I think again, it's about managing those expectations, right? So if you don't have that work environment that really understands you are a individual that matters, and yes, you produce an output for that company, but you're also a mother, you have emotions, you have needs, you have obligations, commitments. We don't look at, oh, my child is sick, I have to leave, as, wow, like this is poor performance. No, this is life. Like, this is the combination of the fact that we have a family and our families are a part of us. And so when they hire us for a job, whether we become mothers in the process or we were already mothers to begin with, they sign on for the whole family. And that's what I truly believe. But that conversation necessarily isn't being totally had. I think it's a little bit different than it was, but it's not totally there yet. But what I try to tell women, especially in the coaching environment, is when you have 15% of yourself to give, giving 100% work and then giving 100% home is not always real. So how can you manage expectations? And it's not necessarily about doing poor performance at your job, but taking some of those pressures off the table, intentionally giving yourself the wellness that you need, the care that you need in order to get to being okay. And so if that looks like, okay, so maybe today I have 10 things on my to-do list, but there are 6 things that I absolutely need to do. And I'm not going to give myself the pressure of doing those other 4 things, because I also need to be present with my kid at home. And I want to be able to, I don't know, go to the fair or go to dinner or whatever and actually enjoy it, because I don't want to be exhausted. Or, you know, just managing those expectations enough until you are whole, you know, whole, healthy, happy. Like, you have that healthcare again, that health again, that you feel like you're now in a position to give 100%, and then you can give 100% at home too and have that energy and have that time. But I will say, on top of that, like, just the idea of the workplace is so, it can be arbitrary, you know, like, this stay-at-home moms work so stinking hard. If there are any partners out there listening, just know that the mom that is at home, she very much needs that same recognition as if she was working at a 9-to-5 or a corporation or a school or whatever she is working her butt off. And we have to honor that and recognize that. So she needs those breaks too. She needs those vacation days too. Like, that, those should be a part of the package in that workplace. Then, you know, there's the whole concept of being a business owner too. And so, trying to kind of run the world and build an empire and then raise the children, which is my daughter's favorite song is Run the World by Beyonce. So there's a line in there that's you raise the children, get back to business. So, like, the idea of, like, the workplace being just an environment where we hear women, but we also know that we sign on for everybody in our life, our family, our support system, our children too.
Excellent. Now, mental health is vital for moms, and I want to spend, we've got about 5 minutes left, so let's talk a little bit about coaching and what coaching does, you know, some of the aspects that you've talked about, what coaching does in furtherance of mental health for moms.
Yeah, so I want to be accessible. That's my main goal. That was the thing that I felt like I was lacking a little bit, especially with that loneliness piece that we've talked about so much today. And so coaching for me is all about me being able to be available to you. So granted, I'm in Texas, but I can coach all over the nation. And so I have an online system where we can just jump online. And if you want to talk during, I always advertise this, nap times or your lunch breaks, it's accessible for you. So yes, I mean, sometimes it's an hour, sometimes it's 30 minutes, sometimes it's more, whatever you need, but just know that you have the access to that. I have day appointments, I have evening appointments, I have text support and phone support. I have even some moms that just want to text me about their day or, like, voice memo me about their day, because it's that loneliness, it's that connection. They want somebody to just at least hear them and know that they have that valued support. And so, but like you mentioned, you know, I can meet you at a coffee shop or you know, grab lunch or meet you at your home or whatever you feel like works for you. There are so many moms that feel like they need to then take an hour out of their day or get a babysitter or, you know, have to drive to Timbuktu to an office. And if that works for you, that's fine. And if that's okay, that's okay too. But just know that you have to limit healthcare. You don't limit your access just because you have life going on around you. Kind of the idea of the workplace, right? Like when you sign on for coaching, I'm also investing in you and your family. And so I understand life happens. I understand that, you know, sometimes kids won't nap or sometimes, you know, you have a newborn child and you're not going to take that child out unless, you know, the germs, all the, those other things. I have moms who breastfeed during session. Like that's okay too. Whatever works for you, bring your toddler to session. That's fine. I've got toys in my office or, like I said, you know, I can come to the, come to your home. So it's all about access, but it's all about the support too, the ongoing support. So the tech support, you need to pick up the phone and call me, you know, in between when we meet, do it. Like it's, this is about you. You shouldn't have to feel like you see somebody once a week and then kind of have to dangle out there the other 6 days of the week to figure out how to be okay. So yeah, I think that's the difference in coaching too, is just the idea that I'm here and I'm present and I'm reachable. I'm definitely within reach.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And even in the coaching that I do is pretty much, I don't want to say it's 24 hours a day, but sometimes it's I service clients in different parts of the world. And man, I'm up till 2 a.m. or whatever, doing a either a virtual session or a call or something like that. So, and that's the other thing that, you know, it's one of the borders that gets, you know, we don't have that border in coaching. We can call anytime. We can set up, you know, you can pay as you go, or you can have a 3-month package, or, you know, you can really structure the payment arrangement, you know, to your client's needs. So, and so I think that's just another great, great thing about coaching. Well, let's, we're going to wind up here. I know we just have a few minutes left. It's pretty quick. I told you it's 50 minutes really doesn't give it justice, but man, once you kind of start going, you know, it's just really, it's awesome. So I'm so glad that you came on the show today, Tiffany. If you could, why don't you tell our listeners the various contact points for how they can reach you?
Sure. So my website is pushcounselingandcoaching.com. My Instagram is at pushcounseling. My Twitter is at pushpostpartum. So they're kind of like different things. I'm working on getting all one name. But and then my Facebook is at pushpostpartum. So like I said, you know, postpartum is at any time. And so don't necessarily get caught off by the name. It's the idea that I'm here for you and I just want to support you. And I want you to know that you're valued and that you matter and that you are worth taking care of yourself. So, and then I do have a phone number. You can text me or call me, 214-596-8318. And a lot of clients actually PM me or DM me on social media too. So whatever you feel like is comfortable for you and just knowing like, that you're talking to somebody that you can relate to.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the show today, Tiffany. And again, this is for moms that of all ages and stages. It's just like you said, it's just not bracketed toward postpartum, but what a great service you have. It's going to take off. I'm so happy for you to come on the show, and I can't wait to maybe check in with you 6 months from now to hear about what's going on with your practice and how you're really helping folks. So, all righty. So great. Well, there it is. Another wonderful show here on the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Be with us next week. Justin and I will be holding it down and talking about coaching and talking about concierge coaching and what that means in 2018. So I have a week to prepare. But anyway, everybody have a great week and we'll see you next time here on LA Talk Radio on the Concierge Coaches Show. And also check us out on Facebook and on iTunes. So we'll see you next week. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.